Kumlan Rabba Gemara, we are up to the Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph. The two knots, three lines from the top. So the Mishnah is talking about that you're allowed to be inside in your house and move things about in a public space. If somebody can mute themselves, please. Or in a public space and move things inside your house as long as it doesn't go beyond four amos. And we said this is the view of the Rabban, because our mayor is concerned you might bring it back into your house. It says the Gemara, you're not allowed to move it beyond four amos. Ho ho itzi chayiv chatas. If you moved it beyond four amos, you are chayiv chatas. Right? If you move, even though you're standing in the house, if you move an object that started from point A and then put it down four amos later in point B, you're chayiv. Lema, let us say, b'sayele l'rava, this assists Rava. Amar Rava, Rava says, you pick an object up in a public place at one point, and you put it down four amos later at another point. In the meantime, the hevidoi derech olav, you lifted it up above your head, so it went through makom tur chayiv yochayiv. And Rashi learns an extraordinary case. Rashi learns that Amish is talking about you're on a roof. You're actually standing on a roof, and you bend down and you move things about. So you pick something up and you lift it up through makom tur, and you put it down four amos later, and you are chayiv. So we see from here that even though the interim part of the four amos you carry the object was in the space of makom tur, you are chayiv. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara here. Tesis finds that bewildering. Where does it say in our Mishnah you're standing on a roof? It sounds like you're standing in your house and you're bending out through, you're sticking out over, through your window or over your window ledge. What does that do with the roof? There's no makom tur here. So Tesis has a hold of him shadi. He learns that it's talking about, that Rava's case is talking about that you take something in your right hand and you bring it to your left hand and your hands are outstretched. So there's four amas between the very tip of your right hand to the very tip of your left hand, and it's all in front of you. And the Rava says you are chayiv, even though it never left you, but because it moved four amas across the Shusar Rabim from getting to your right hand to your left hand, you're chayiv. And same thing here. If you move an object, you're from one side of Shusar Rabim to the other, and you're sticking out, and you're in a Shusar Yachid, it's the same thing. And that's the proof. Totally from Shadar Rashi. Says the Gemara, no proof. Where does the Mishnah say you are chayiv? Miktoni im hoyzi chayv chata. Does the Mishnah say if you did it, you chayv chata? Dilma im hoyzi potra v'losa. Maybe the Mishnah means if you did it, it's chayv midrabon. Not like Rava said. Maybe you brought it from one side of you to the other side of you. It's only chayv midrabon. Or if you went to the makom tur, you only chayv from midrabon. Ikidami other say exactly the opposite. Hoyzi potra, you are potra v'losa midrabon. Leima tevet yuf to the Rava. We're inferring from the Mishnah that you're allowed to move it from Shizrach Zerabim. You're allowed to move it from Shizrach Zerabim, but don't move it beyond four Amma. It sounds like if you did move it, all you are is Chayim and Rabbanim. Question on Robert. Amar Rabba Mavich Mitchil, that was a little bit of Chayim and Chayim and Chayim. Says, Yigmar Amik Tani Hoitzi, Potter Avalosa. Does it say that if you took it out, you Potter Avalosa? Dilma, Im Hoitzi Chayim Chattas, you Chayim and Chattas. Lo Yamid, Amish Yachid, Amar, it said Rabbi Yisif, Hishtin Verei Chayim Chattas, says Rabbi Yisif. And if somebody urinated and he spat outside, you're chayiv achatas. Says the Gemara, right as we learned in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that the person should not stand in a shusha yachid and urinate in a shusha rabim, or because you're transporting from a private place to a public place, or spit outside from a shusha yachid in a shusha rabim. Says the Gemara, it sounds like, but if you did, you are chayiv achatas. But the chayiv we learned in Masechta Shabbos that when is something considered being dislodged from its original place, if it was stable, when is it stable? If it was sitting on an area 4x4. So Avabinin Akir of Anoch Gamokinol has to leave a place that was 4x4. And since it leaves my body is not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. The Lekka, you don't have it. Says the Gemara, Machshavte Mishav Yilei Mokka. Because you want it to happen, you want it to be removed from here, that in itself gives it significance, gives it chashiv, as if left a mokum chashiv. And how do I know that? Because Ilei Temokhi, if you're not going to learn that way, Hadom, Rabba says Zodak, Rabba Yakela, you threw something. And land in the mouth of a dog is not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. I be fair kifshin or in a furnace, chayiv chati, chayiv chatas. I would be in an hanocha gab mokadal. You needed to land in a place of 4x4, but lucky you don't have it. Ela machshavte mishav lemokin, because I wanted to land there, therefore it's considered significant. Hachin, I'm here too. Machshavte mishav lemokin, thinking that it should leave, just like hanocha, thinking that it should land there is considered significant as if it's 4x4. So to the place that leaves, I want the spit to leave my body, I want the urine to leave my body, therefore it's like 4x4. And Tracy already says that when you say machshav to machshav lemakom, it's talking about that, you know, you really want it to land there. Not that you don't care where it lands, and then a bit lands here, you want it to go in the mouth of the dog. Here you wanted it to land in the fire, so it should get burnt there. And likewise here, you want urine to leave your body, you want the spit to leave your body. But if you throw it on something, you don't really care exactly where it lands, but you want it to land, then it's not called machshav to machshav lemakom. If it lands on a peg, you wouldn't be chayv ma'atayra. So you want to further, boy, Rava. So Rava has a question. What happens? Who bishu say yochi? What happens? You're standing in a private house, but opi amish rabim. But the part that you urinate from, the male member, part of it is sticking outside. Mau. What do we view? Where do we view the point of dislodgement? Basar akidas lin. The point of dislodgement is from inside your body, which is inside the shuzayachid. Or basi itzias lin, where it actually leaves your body, which is in the shuzayachid. And if you look at where you leave your body, it's a shusar abim, two shusar abim, when we chayiv. Take this, good question. Chayin lo yor nor should you spit. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that nor should you spit. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the saliva already is sitting in your mouth, you're not yet, he said, you shouldn't walk with it for amos. Why? Because it's as if you're carrying something in your mouth. Even though it's still sitting inside you, but if you have saliva in your mouth, you shouldn't walk around with it, because as if you're carrying on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, and that's halacha. Afagav the lahafik, but even though you didn't turn it around in your mouth like ready to spit it out. But now, didn't we learn how your oichel devela? The din is that your hands are always considered tummy. And if you if you're eating, let's say, something which is trum, let's say you're eating a dried fig, that's a pressed fig, and you're touching it, it's in your mouth, so it's saliva in your mouth, which makes it wet, and we know that something is wet, it now is prepared, ready to makabel tum, and then you touch it with your hands. According to Rashi, the dveila is truma, and according to Tesis, the dveila doesn't have to be truma, even regular, because your hands are, you know, are a shnias, are a sheni, and we have a rule that mashkin becomes a tchila, we don't care how much mashkin there is, liquid there is. So now we learned how oichel dveila, you're eating this pressed fig. Be a daim, say others, with tomatic hands, the hechnis yodil terpiv. You put your hand inside your mouth, little tzer, take out a pebble. Meantime, inadvertently, you touch this food. That may, it says tummy. But Abyesi metai. That may, it says tummy. Abyesi says toy. May, it says your tummy because it became the spittle in your mouth. Saliva in your mouth made it prepare for tum. Rabbi says, as long as saliva is in your mouth, it's not considered liquid yet, it's still part of you. And Rabbi says, it depends. If you turned it around in your mouth, you're getting ready to spit it out, then tummy. And loy hefekbah, if you didn't turn it around in your mouth, toy your toy. So we see that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the criteria? When do we consider saliva as if it's not part of you anymore? Once it's swirling in your mouth. So how come in our mission it doesn't say anything about swirling in your mouth? It just says that if it's sitting in your mouth, you're ready, it's considered dislodged and you're chayv carrying it. Rabbi Yechon, you're right. Muchlefes ashita. Swap it around. Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yisi actually, Amei and Rabbi Yehuda. Amei actually, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds. As soon as it's sitting in your mouth, it's already considered separated. Reish lakid omel oilum loitachin omel and swap it around. Hoch my skin and we're talking about bekechai. We're talking about over here like your phlegm. And because we're talking about your phlegm, phlegm is very different. That by phlegm, as soon as it sits in your mouth, it's already considered dislodged, as if it's separated from you. So because phlegm is not really saliva, you can let sit in your mouth for a while. Phlegm, you can't wait till you get rid of it. And as soon as it sits in your mouth, therefore it's considered separated altogether. Says Gemara, the Tanya, we learned in the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda Amir says, Keichai v'nitlish, your phlegm, and if it was separated, you cannot walk for amos. My love, what do you mean Keichai v'nitlish? There's two different cases. My love, what are we talking about? One is Keichai, one is Reik v'nitlish, even my spit. As soon as the spit is separated, even before you turn it around in your mouth, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chai for carrying it. And there, by Tumah, it says only if it swirls around your mouth. So he says, no, read it, keichai v'nitlish. It's both talking about phlegm. That we're talking about that your phlegm, and that was already what? Separated from yourself and it's sitting inside your mouth. So in other words, by phlegm, as soon as it sits in your mouth, it's already chayiv, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. But when it talks about saliva, yeah, it has to move around in your mouth. It has to be heiferbo, it has to swirl in your mouth. So the Gemara of Tanya, the Buddha says, keichai, phlegm that was separated, clearly that even saliva just is separated before you even turn it around in your mouth, it's already considered separate. Go back to the original answer that you have to swap around the names of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And if it can be what you're saying right now. Thinking about further. Omer says, Ishlaki, you're talking about spitting. He says, Ishlaki, Keyach bifnei Rabbi, if somebody spits out his phlegm in front of his teacher, so which is so disrespectful and repugnant, Chayiv Misa, Yichay Misa b'dei Shemayim. Shnema, it says in the Pasuk, Kol Misanei, that all those who hate me, Ohavu Mavis, and seems like they love to die. What do you mean? Atikul Misanei, those who hate me, El Masneh, those who make other people, you know, you make a Chil Hashem, you make other people hate the Abish and say, oh, that's what Talmud Chacham is not interested. So therefore, is in the what? The Abish says he likes Mavis, no, Chay Misa. Pretty much of a man is on his bed. What do you have a braid when you have phlegm that comes up your mouth? What should you do? Says the Gemara, the problem is not the phlegm that raises your mouth. It's keach v'roi kamin. We're talking about that you spit it out and you spat in front of your teacher. Rather, you could have turned around, you could have gone somewhere else, and that was the act of disrespect. You know, spitting it out right in front of your teacher. All you had to do is go to the side or take a handkerchief and blow it into the handkerchief. Next Mishnah. So the Mishnah Layamid Adam Bishusa Yochi, the person should not be standing inside Eid Shusa Yochi, the Yishte Bishusa Rabim. Before we talked about urinating, and now we're talking about you're standing in the house and there's a well right in front of you outside and you're drinking some water from there. Or Shusa Rabim, you shouldn't stand in Shusa Rabim and drink Shusa Yochi. We're very scared that you'll take the cup and bring it to yourself, and obviously it's going to transfer from one domain to another, which you're not doing Shabbos, and we're worried. If you're standing in the house and the water is outside, if you put most of your body out the window, then it's all right. Then we're not worried to bring it in. And then it says the word v'chein begas, and the same thing applies to a wine press. Now we're not sure exactly what it means. So right now we think v'chein begas. The same thing applies there as well. If you want to drink wine from the wine press, and you're standing outside, you want to drink from the wine press. Let's say the wine press is just a yachid. You got to make sure that most of your body is sitting inside. That's what we think right now. We'll see tomorrow later. That's how Abaye learned. But Rava has another pshat in that. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. Says the Reisha Rabbonin v'Sefer Meir. It doesn't make sense. Here, in the previous mission says you're allowed to stand. Before we had that you're not allowed to. That you're allowed to move things around from, you know, four amas, as long as it's less than four amas, we're not worried to bring it into the house. And which is the opinion of Rabbonin. And here, which we'll see later in Kuf Aleph. And here we see that, you know, we don't want you. We're scared to bring the cup to yourself. Which one is it? Reisha Rabbonin v'Sefer Amei, and here we're worried, we follow Amei, that we're worried you bring it to yourself. Om Rabbi Yosef, we're talking about b'chafeitzin she'tzrichin lo'i v'divir hakol. Here the Mishnah is talking about that objects that you really need, like water, something that you really need, and because something that you really need, then everyone agrees that we're scared you're going to bring the water inside to drink it. And different than the case over there, we're just moving things around, you know, you're playing around in the Shusarab, something that you don't really need. Iboy, you have a question. Kamlis mai. What about the street? You're inside the house, and outside is actually a kamlis, not a shasarabim. Can you, let's say, drink water outside, and you're standing inside? Because the whole iser of a kamlis, if it's not a public way or shasarabim, just a kamlis, which is a rabbanon band. So to take from the kamlis into your house is only an iser de rabbanon. And telling you not to drink while you're standing in the house and drinking outside is only a decree, derabbanon. We're scared that next time you bring it into the house, or this time you're bringing the house. So it's like a double derabbanon. And it's a general question, do we make double derabbanon? So here we have an interesting argument. Abai Omar Hihi, why should we be different? And Omar Rava says, no. He gufa gzeda, the whole thing is why can't you carry it to Kamlis? Because next time you might carry into Rosh Hashanah, and we should make a decree, a part of the decree. No, as Rava holds, you don't make gzera l'gzera. However, Abaya, according to some Rishonim, holds that we do make a gzera l'gzera. Or other ones say that carry maybe is different. So, or other, there's all kinds of pshatim. Others say that either Abaya holds you do say gzera l'gzera, or Abaya holds that a karmelis. It's really one. It's so clear that you are going to carry it in. It's not like a gzeila gzeila. It's definitely going to happen. It's a high probability, and therefore it's not like a gzeila gzeila, different than normal ordinary case gzeila gzeila, or that the iser of karmelis is such a strong iser that we do make a gzeila in this particular case as an exception. Different ways of understanding pshat. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Min Amin. How do I know that even by karmelis we worry? Melik Tony. It says in the Mishnah, Chaim Begas. What do you mean by wine press? if a wine press is out in the street, what's the chiddush? Then what's the difference between the first case and the second case? But if you say the wine press is a karmelis, it's less than 10 tefachim, let's say, high, and even though it's 4 tefachim wide, and if you take from there, it's, you know, it's like from a karmelis, and you're into the house. Oh, now we understand. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about a shesh rabban, and the gas is talking about a karmelis. That's my proof. Omar, Rava says, no, gas is not talking about that at all. You know what gas is talking about? L'inyan meiser. Gas is talking about regarding meiser. What's the story of meiser? By meiser is untied food. If you didn't give yet your 10% of the levy, you're not allowed to eat from it. But a snack, you are allowed to. So we're saying over here, when it comes to a gas, the same thing applies. If you're eating right on top of the gas, it looks like perhaps that it's as if you're on top of the gas, it looks like it is a permanent meal, and therefore you would need to give you a mice before you eat it, even by a snack, as Gemara explains. We have different opinions. One opinion says you're allowed to stand on top of the wine press and drink. As long as you don't take it away from the wine press, it's permanent. Why? Because anything left over, you can put it right back in. So it's not like you want to take it away with you. It's only if you take it away from the gas that's considered kevah, it's considered a permanent meal, and you're not allowed to eat it unless you give your maaseh. But if you're eating it right on top of the gas, it's arai, it's only temporary, and therefore, it's like a snack, casual, and therefore, you're not going to maaseh. So he says over here, you're allowed to drink on top of the gas, let's say wine. Bein bechamin, whether you dilute it with hot water, v'chein betzainin, whether you dilute it with cold water, u'potter, you are potter. As long as you're sitting on top of the gas, you are potter, because it's considered a casual thing, and you're potter from giving maaseh, and you're allowed to drink it. However, the moment you dilute it means that already you want to have it more like a meal than just something casual, and therefore you have to give your maaseh first, and I don't care if it's hot water or cold water. The Chachamim say it depends. Allah Chamin, if it's hot water, chai, why? Because if anything left over, you cannot return the hot water, diluted wine, back into the barrel, because you're going to ruin the rest of the wine. So therefore, if you mix them with hot water, you showed us clearly that you plan to take it away with you and become more like a permanent meal. But if you, let's say, just mix it with some cold water, if you don't drink it, you can always pour it back in, because it's not going to ruin the rest of the wine. So therefore, that's considered casual. I will tell you, because you're giving it back, and therefore you're allowed to. Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about, it used to be the houses were flat. And how do they collect the water? So they would have a bunch of little marzivin, a little like drain, water drains all over the roof, little ones, and they would be collected into one big thing called a maschila. Maschila was like a big, large drain pipe. All the water would on the roof would come to one point, and then would come out through this drain pipe out and leave the house. We more or less have the same thing today. That's called so the little ones are marzivin, and the big ones called the maschila. And the question is, can you drink from the water of that maschila on Shabbos? So it says as follows: Koilet Adam, you're allowed to catch, water min hamaschila, from this large drain pipe. No, don't put your mouth on it; it will soon see. But you can catch it from the drain pipe. Lemata meyutfachim, if it's less than 10 tefachim, if it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground, that you're allowed to. We'll see later that the ma'ilam 10 tefachim you're allowed to as well, but we'll soon see why we say lemata 10 tefachim. But umin atziner, but what do you call it? But from a tziner, mikol mokum shaisa. So you have, this maschil you're allowed to drink, but from a tziner, we'll see later why this tziner, which is another kind of drain pipe, you're allowed to drink in any way you want, you're allowed to put your mouth on it, because as we're going to say, if it's very close to the roof, it's treated like a shusar yachid. So therefore, you're not allowed to take a keli and put it in and bring it, because you're standing in the shusar rabim. But if it leaves the drain pipe in the air and then you catch it in the cup, you just took it from a makom tur, so that's all right. But if it's a tziner, which is, I guess, moved away from your house, more than 3 tefachim, so then you're allowed to, because it's not considered part of your house, as the Gemara will explain. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why you're not put your mouth next to the maschili, because it's right next to the roof. And because it goes the entire length of your wall and it's within 3 tefachim of your roof, it's considered as part of the roof. It's as if you're taking from Yochid to Sarabim. But a tziner is very different, because a tziner is longer, and a tziner is removed from your house and more than 3 tefachim. So therefore, it's not considered part of your house, and because by the tziner it's lower than 10 tefachim, there's no iser. Right, we're talking about that the place where you put your mouth, the drain part of it, is less than 4 tefachim. And because less than 4 tefachim, because if it's 4 tefachim, there might be a kamlus, then you cannot take from there either. And if it's less than 4 tefachim, we're not going to make any gzeiros. And because even if it is 4 tefachim, all it is a kamlus drabbanon, and we don't make a double gzeira. Says Gemara. Now the reason why we mention below 10 tefachim has nothing to do with the maschil, has to do with the tzinner. Because this tzinner, if it's higher than 10 tefachim, even though it's less than 4 tefachim, we're not going to let you put your mouth or a keli next to it. Because if it would have been 4 tefachim, it would be a shus yachid. Above 10 tefachim, it's shus rabim, and 4 tefachim wide, it's shus yachid. And then we're scared you're going to take from shus yachid to shus rabim. Well, you are, because you're standing shus rabim, you have a cup, and you're taking it from there, and you're taking it to yourself. That's taking from Shuziyach to the water from Shuziyach to Shuzarabim. So therefore, because of the tzinner, we had to mention that's below 10 tefachim. Only below 10 tefachim, if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, you're allowed. If it's 4 tefachim wide, it's a karmus, and you're standing Shuzarabim, so you can't do that. But if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's like a makom turi, allowed to. And we're not worried that if it's more than 4 tefachim, it'd be a karmus, because that's only derabbanon, and we don't make a double derabbanon. But if it would have been higher than 10 tefachim, it would be a Shuziyach. So even if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's only makom turi, we would be geizered. If it be 4 tefachim, but that's only in the case of the tzinner. But in the case of the, in the first case of the mission, the maschila, even if it's above 10 tefachim, because it's close, because it left, it's in the makom tur, there's no problem. But that's why the mission mentioned below 10 tefachim. That's the gemara, coil it in only if you capture it, you know, you caught it in the ear of the mitzvah, but not to put your cup right next to it, or your mouth right next to it, because then it's like you're drawing water from the pipe. My time, what's the reason? We're talking about maschila, poch is megimel son l'schach. We're talking about that pipe is within 3 tefachim of the roof. The chol poch is megimel son l'gach. And he closed it within 3 tefachim of the roof. Kikag dom is considered like part of the roof. Taina, what we learned, umid adam v'shus yachid, a person can stand in a private place, umagbiya yodel l'may l'masar tefachim, and you can lift your hand above 10 tefachim, l'poch is meshleisha samach l'gach, if it's within 3 tefachim of the roof, the koilet, and you can catch the water. Because if it's less than 3 tefachim to the roof, it's considered as if it's part of the roof. And if whatever you're taking is as if you're taking it from the roof. You're allowed to capture it from the air. So you're allowed to stand in the Shuziyachid, let's say on the roof, and capture it from the air, the water that's coming off the roof. And the Rashi said, we're talking here about a tzinner, that's why you're not allowed to put it right next to it. Tanya, you learn something else. Layamidam Shuziyachid, which is not standing Shuziyachid, Viagbi Yad Lamayulam, so Tfachim, lift your hand above 10 tefachim, Lepachas, Megimel, so the Gimel, Yitzarif. Abo Koyotu Vishaisa. You'll have to catch in the air and drink, because it's Shuziyachid, so therefore you have to wait to leave the Shuziyachid before you can take it. Otherwise, it's like it's part of the roof. The pipe has 4x4. Us is forbidden, as if you're taking from one shoes to another shoes, and that you're not allowed to. Mishneh, boy, b'shus rabim, you have a pit inside a public place. You have a pit inside a public place. And you have sand that, you know, the perimeter of the pit rises 10 tefachim. You have a window directly above it. Mimalin heimendel b'shabbos. So you're taking basically from one shoes to yachid. Your porch is right above it. So you drop a bucket into the water. You're taking directly from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid. And you're allowed to. When you need an aid, there's another owner there, but there's nobody else there. It's just sitting there, so therefore you're allowed to. Ashba Rishus Rabim, let's say you have a tip, a rubbish tip, in Rishus Rabim, but it itself, Givor Yud Tvachim, it itself is 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim wide, so it itself is Rishus Yachid, Kalein She'al Gabal, if you have it happen, a window above it, Sheivchin L'Teicha Mayim B'Shabbos, you'll have to drop your things there on Shabbos, because it's going from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid. Second one, what are you talking about? If we're talking about that the bar is right, you know, abutting the house. So lechayda ilam is lama lichul year. Why do you need that? There should be sand the perimeter around it. 10 tefachim high. Yud. Why 10 tefachim? Why the pit itself is 10 tefachim deep? We're assuming the pit itself is just a yachid. Why do you need a perimeter around the pit of 10 tefachim? You're right next to it. It's like one is a yachid to the next is a yachid. So what's the big deal? Says the Gemara, we're talking about mufleges min hakoyis la'abo. We're talking about is distant from the wall by 4 tefachim. The time, so therefore, because it's distant from the wall by 4 tefachim, it's not really abutting each other. If there's a chulya asara, so if there is, let's say, sand, a perimeter of ten tefachim. So therefore, you're allowed to ten tefachim. Why?
Because if the wall is ten tefachim high, so the pail never entered the airspace of the Shusha Rabbim. It was always above 10 tefachim from Shusha Rabbim, let's say. So therefore, it's like a makom tur, no problem.
Let's say if there's no perimeter of 10 tefachim.
So when you're dropping it to the bar, you're going from Shusha Yachid through the airspace of Shusha Rabbim into a pit.
That's forbidden. Rabbi Yechon says, I feel tame smucha,
even if you tell me that it's abutting the wall of the house. So l'chayit, if it's right, it's always Shusha Rabbim in between. Why do you have to have a perimeter of 10 tefachim? The pit itself is 10 tefachim deep.
So the chiddush here is, I feel there's a hakamashlan, the bar vichul yosim is tarfas.
We're talking about a pit here that's not 10 tefachim deep, only 5 tefachim. And the perimeter is only 5 tefachim high. And the chiddush is, they combine together.
It says the Gemara, ashpa b'shusarabim, if you have sand in eder shusarabim, a tip in shusarabim, says the Gemara, the loichai, that what, you allow to drop it there. And the chiddush is, we're like chashinun, we are not worried. Maybe we should worry that one day the tip will be removed, most, and you'll continue throwing your junk out there.
And now you'll be throwing it into Shusha Rabbim because it's no longer 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide.
The loichashin, we're not worried. Shema tinotel ashpa, that one day the tip might be removed. But we find that we do worry it. We had previously in the Gemara, there's a street. One side of the street ended up by the sea. One side of it ended up by a tip.
He didn't want to rule one way or another. He didn't want to say you're allowed to carry there.
He didn't want to say you're allowed to carry there. But it's closed area. One side had a tip, and one side had the sea. He didn't want to say it's mutter because he was worried that the aid of might disappear. The chayshin we are worried. Shema tinot l'ash, but one day the tip might be taken away, or the yalla hayam shetun, or the sea might bring up all the junk, and therefore it no longer has a decline of ten tefachim or 4 amos. So you no longer have a fourth side of mechitza. Isa le'yomer boy. He also didn't want to say it's asad or kayom mechitza because right now it's a kosher eruv. If you have an ediv, but you don't want to carry your machma that ediv because it might break, let's say. So you can't say there's no ediv here. There is an ediv here. On the other hand, you can't say you're allowed to carry an ediv because maybe it would fall apart.
Like kash is not a problem. When do we assume by a tip that it will be taken away, or when are we concerned if it belongs to an individual? But if it belongs to a city, let's say, we're not worried they'll take it away because they have to give notice and so on.
Elon, a tree, shayemesech ala ores, a tree that was overhanging the ground.
You have this large tree and this branches and leaves are spanning a very large area and very heavily shaded. If those branches, if around
Noifai. Okay, I've got Gufai on mine.
Do you? Maybe I'm hard to see. 1 second. Let me look a little closer. Sorry, I'm not wearing my glasses. My lens, I mean. 1 second. You might be right. Just 1 second. Have a quick look. Just 1 second. I'm just taking Mishnah here. Just 1 second. No, it's Noifai. You're talking about the branches. It says Gufai?
It's just a typo of mine, I guess.
What does Gufai mean? The whole idea that the branches have to be within 3 tefachim of the ground, so it's shaded, it's like you have a fence. Gufai means the bark of the trunk of the tree, so how does that help? Every trunk of the tree, how would you translate that, Gufai? It has to be Noifai. look at Ashi. Shenoifai noita lamata mikol zdod of saviv. That its branches are sticking out below and all sides around the tree. So we're not talking about the tree itself, we're talking about the branches that are protruding from the tree, extending from the tree.
Yep, okay.
So Mishnah, Ilan a tree, Shayim Mesech ala Oretz, that was spread over the ground. Im ein neufe gevoyim in a Oretz, Shay Tvachim, the branches are lower than 3 Tvachim from the ground, the end of the branches, and that's considered lavud, as if it's attached to the ground, and therefore you have your perimeter fence. Is metalten tachtav, you're permitted to carry under the tree, provided, as the Gemara will say, the tree isn't larger than 2 sa 50 by 100, because if it is, then it's not considered huk of the deer, it's not surrounding a dwelling place, and we learned before already that an area that's not surrounding a dwelling place, if it's larger than 2 sa, you cannot carry there. The truth of the matter is, how many trees have such a large branch span, more than 50 by 100 amas? What about Sharosh of Gavoyim and Ares Gimel Tfachon Yeshav Alein? If the roots are raised above the ground, three Tfachim, if the roots of the tree, sometimes you see the trees and the roots are above the ground. If it's below three Tfachim, it's like sitting on the ground, but if it's above three Tfachim, you're sitting on a tree, and you now sit on a tree on Shabbos and Yantav, it's Muktzah. Layeshiv alein, do not sit on those roots, because as if you're sitting on a tree, and you now use a tree on Shabbos. Second, about Amar Avunah b'Yeshua, ain't metalkin but yesa beis asayim, you're not allowed to carry underneath the tree. If the tree, if the perimeter of the tree is enclosing an area larger than two saw my time away, it's a dwelling place. Shetashmisha la'avir, it's a dwelling place that is. Anybody sitting on the tree is purely for shade, but what they're doing there, they're guarding the field, so it's not really a proper dwelling place. So it's more la'avir, you're there for the shade and to protect you. V'chodila shetashmisha la'avir, any dwelling place that's there to protect only the airspace. A metalkalim bo yeser beis asayim, you're not going to carry there more than two so'ah, because it's not there to protect the person. It's not their dwelling place, it's there more to serve as a shade, and therefore we have the limit of 50 by 100. Okay, that's today's Gemara. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh.